I don't think I have ever met a Christian anywhere who was not in search of a deeper and more personal relationship with God. Especially and specifically when it comes to our prayer lives. When you and I address our Father in heaven, we want that to feel like a connection, a fellowship, communion with God. Wherein, no matter what we're facing or what is happening, when we are finished with our prayer, we know that God is here and we believe that God is helping. That's a great prayer. This morning, we will be studying a productive prayer life and how to build it. How it can be that every prayer we offer makes us feel like that. And I'll just say that this lesson, this study is born out of necessity for me because that is not the way my prayer life has been. Up until I would say about 6 months ago, I had what you might describe as a hit or miss prayer life. I don't mean that I prayed on Sunday and then I forgot to pray for 3 days. I was addressing God every day. But I would have a prayer where I felt refilled and rebuilt and ready. And then I would go through what I kind of coined as placeholder prayers. You know, just these typical words we throw up towards heaven and hope they stick. And I wanted a more productive and fervent prayer life. I hope that you do too. You guys know what a great prayer feels like, right? You feel a great prayer. I was talking to Dylan about this yesterday. I think he already shared this illustration with you some time ago. But a great prayer feels like you are walking into the court of heaven before the throne of God and you are holding this huge bucket filled with dirty water. And your fingers are starting to pull apart and you know that all this dirty water is about to just go pouring out everywhere. And so you get to the throne of God and you kneel down and begin pouring out all that dirty water. And as soon as it hits the feet of God, it just disappears. And when you get done pouring out your bucket to God and you stand to walk away, you are holding that bucket in firm grip. It is completely refilled with clean, cool, refreshing water, and it feels as light as a feather. Anybody ever prayed like that? That's what I'm talking about. I want all of my interactions with God to make me feel like that and make me stronger, and I trust that you do as well. Now, I need to say something about this. I'm hopeful that throughout the rest of the year, once a month, we will have one Sunday morning study on how to build a more productive prayer life, and we will be looking at a few different angles on that, but I need to tell you something right now. This is going to take a little bit of work. If we believe that we can pray like that by just throwing words at heaven whenever we please and not really learning how to invest ourselves into communicating with God, then we're making a mistake there. This takes work. You already know, anybody married here, you know that communication takes work. Communication takes effort in two ways. You have to learn how to listen, and then you have to learn how to communicate your thoughts in return. And when you work on both of those things, you can have a productive relationship. How many of you know that's exactly the way it is with God? We get that on one half of it. This is the way God talks to me, right? You can't just open this up, read a few words, close it, and feel great all day, can you? You have to work on communication, don't you? You have to learn how to read with patience. You have to learn how to analyze the context and really get the idea. And when we study God communicating with us, we learn how to take in His instructions and we grow. Do you realize that prayer is the same kind of thing? It's just the other side of it. To communicate with God takes work. It takes discipline and effort. And we want to make that a goal for the rest of the year to learn how to implement stronger prayer lives. And let me tell you, what I'm going to share with you this morning from the scripture has absolutely, in almost every conceivable way, changed my relationship with God. And that's the only reason I'm preaching it. If I feel closer to God, I hope that you will also. Now, I have great news. While it does take a lot of work to pray productively, we do have help. In fact, the Bible often refers to Him as our helper, at least the apostles' helper in John 16, but He is our helper in prayer. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. When we pray, the Holy Spirit is an active part of making it work. I think it would be simple for me to say, and you would agree when I tell you that if the Holy Spirit is assisting us in prayer, our prayers will have results. But if the Holy Spirit is not assisting us, now we're just throwing words around and there will not be an effect. The promise here is that the Holy Spirit will help us out. I'm in Romans chapter 8, and I'll back up to verse 24. When you try to kind of comprehend the way that the Spirit works in our prayer life, good luck with that. That's a really difficult thing to do. You could fill this building all the way to that 30-foot peak with things that I don't know about how the Spirit works. But it's a lot like hope. Look at verse 24. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. It's kind of like hope. You can't see hope. You can't hold hope in your hand and say, here's hope, and here's what hope looks like, and here's what hope does. But you know that it is here. That desire and expectation and strength and encouragement is there, and it makes a difference. The Spirit's kind of like that. Look at verse 26. In the same way, much like hope, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When you pray and the Spirit is doing His part, it works, because He fixes all the things that you didn't do right. I wish I knew exactly what I should say to God, but I don't. So the Spirit has to go in and say, here's what Chris meant to say. I wish that I could convey the perfect emotion in prayer that God deserves. I don't have that capacity. The Spirit says, here's what His heart is really feeling. The Spirit knows the Father perfectly, and He communicates with Him perfectly, and He intercedes with groanings, emotion, and words, ideas that make it work. But here's a question. If the Spirit is doing this when we pray, why doesn't it feel like it? I told you in the open that sometimes I get it. Sometimes I talk to God, and when I am finished talking to God, I know that the Spirit has fixed all my mistakes and conveyed the emotion, and God has responded instantly with some form of strength, and I am replenished and refreshed. But what about all those other prayers that I'm offering that I feel like are doing nothing? Is the Spirit on vacation? Does He only work one day a week? Why am I not getting this result? Well, I want to share something with you. Honestly, I'll tell it to you this way. I think there are times when we're praying and the Spirit does nothing. I think God's people go to God in prayer and the Spirit stands aside and says, I will not be a part of that. But when we pray like we should, the Spirit instantly He engages, and that's when you know that it works. Here's a passage that we need to get to. Open your Bibles to Ephesians 6. I was simply journeying through, reading some epistles, trying to find a way to capture that connection with God, and I came across this verse, and I need you to see it. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. The Apostle Paul writes these simple words: with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now, we're going to look at that context in a moment, but did you see it? He didn't just say pray at all times, although He does say that in other places, pray without ceasing. He said pray at all times in the Spirit. Have you ever noticed that before? That doesn't mean inside of the Spirit. You don't hop inside of the Spirit and offer a prayer. It means pray in connection with the Holy Spirit. Pray in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And here's what I've come to believe with great strength. If I pray in the Spirit works for me. If I pray not in the Spirit, He takes a day off. He can't get involved in that. He engages when we engage. We pray in connection with Him. He goes to the Father in connection with us. We must learn and embrace how it is that God's people pray in the Spirit. And that's what I identified. Once or twice a week, I was praying in the Spirit. And I knew it. And I know the difference. The rest of the time, it was something less. And the Spirit deserves our best. Let me just say this before we delve into what in the world this means. It's a really powerful thing to do. We talk about powerful prayer lives, prayers that really make a difference. Well, you should expect that. Ephesians chapter 6, do you remember what this context is about? If we back up a little bit and we're looking at, say, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. It goes on to talk about the devil attacking us and how important our armor is and how we need to be protected and have our shields of faith and sword that is the Word of God. And then he says, pray in the Spirit. I submit to you that praying in the Spirit is a defense against the attacks of the devil. That's a great reaction when you say, in Jesus' name we pray, amen, and you lift your head. If you're driving, you kept your eyes on the road the whole time. But when you're done talking to God, you know that you win. That the devil, the adversary, has been driven back and you are fortified and defended. And it's not just the Word that does that, it's communication with God that does that. And that's two parts. Hearing from Him and talking to Him. Here's a second thing. In verses 18 and following, he's saying, praying in the Spirit will help you defend against the devil. And I know all Christians need more of that. But he also said things will happen. In verse 18, he said, again, with all prayer and petition at all times, pray in the Spirit. Verse 19, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. What an interesting passage. Paul is closer to God, I would say, than just about anybody that's ever lived other than Jesus himself. And yet he says, when you pray in the Spirit, things will happen for me. If you're praying in the Spirit, doors will open for me. Opportunities, strength will be there. I can serve God. Let me tell you two things about praying in the Spirit. If you do this, you will fight the devil more vigilantly and victoriously than ever before. And things will happen in your life. Doors will open, windows will open. People will be there because God is taking those words. The Spirit is lifting those words. Jesus is connecting the two cables and God begins to work praying in the Spirit. But that brings about the big question of the morning. And I hope it's what you're thinking right now. What is this? How do I do this? I know you've done it before. Every Christian has. But what is it about that makes it such? And how can I make more of this happen and less of that other stuff? And I hope I'm not the only person in the room who knows what an empty prayer feels like. How do we get rid of that? Well, here's what I would suggest to you. I don't want to come up yet. There. The Holy Spirit works today. Would you agree with that? In your life, the Holy Spirit works today. I would suggest to you this morning, and I think I'm allowed to do this as a conservative preacher of truth, when I tell you that the Holy Spirit works today in two ways. Did you know that? He's working in your life every day in two ways. And just like those two ways work in our lives, what we need to do to live in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit is we need to let these two things happen. When we let these two things happen in our lives, what the Spirit's doing today, we're living in the Spirit. My suggestion to you this morning is super simple. If we let Him do those two things in our prayer life, guess what you're doing now? It's not very difficult, is it? Now you're praying in the Spirit. If how He works in our lives is how we allow Him to work in our prayer lives, we are praying in the Spirit. So what we need to talk about for a couple of minutes this morning is how does the Spirit work today and how do I make that a part of how I pray? Here's the first and most obvious thing. We know very clearly that the Spirit works in our lives today through the written and revealed Word of God. This is the Spirit's revelation. This is the product of His great labor. And if I said to you, is it possible to live in the Spirit without studying the Bible? What would you say? No. How can you live in the Spirit if you're not letting the Spirit live in you? That would be a great answer. You'd have me there. I have to let the Spirit do His work so that I can live His way. Well, I would suggest to you that it's the same way with prayer. We need more Bible in our prayers. We need more Bible ideas. We need to be reading about prayer. Open your Bibles firstly to Ephesians chapter 3. First thing that I would say, Ephesians chapter 3, just to make clear note of this, is to verify that it is in fact through revelation that the Spirit works today. When I read, I know what to say. We get that out in the world. I know what to say when I read. When we read, we know what to do because He guides our lives. In Ephesians chapter 3, just very briefly, it talks about this great mystery. And in verse 3, there was made known to me the mystery. Verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight. Now look at verse 5, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. That's our same phrase, in the Spirit. How do you know what the Spirit wants you to do? You got to read it. When you read verse 3, you can understand Bible study. And we're really clear about this, that I cannot live in the Spirit without a daily connection to the Word of God. So my first question for you this morning is, what kind of an effect is the Word of God having on how you pray? Now, I know what you might be thinking. You might be thinking, well, the Bible tells us that we need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. And that's extremely important. But I'm not asking about that. What kind of things do you pray about? How do you pray? If I can take the Spirit's ideas and use that in my prayers, I know I have the Spirit's approval. Now look, if I lived in the first century, I would use whatever tool the Spirit gave me. If I lived in the first century where men laid hands on me and I was inspired to speak by the Holy Spirit, guess how I would pray? I would say, Spirit, I'm going to shut up a minute. You just tell me what to say. That's how I would do it. But that's not how He works today. He works through this. So now it's our responsibility. So let's do that for a few minutes. How would you use the Word of God to shape your prayer life? Open your Bibles to the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer. This is a revelation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it, but the Spirit recorded it and preserved it for 2,000 years so that you and I could open up and hear how to pray. These are the things God wants me talking about. These are some of the ways that God wants me expressing it. And even something so simple as the Lord's Prayer will renovate the way we talk to God forever. Let's read this prayer. I'm in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 through 13. And while I'm reading this, I want you to think about how you pray and what effect this should have. Verse 9, Jesus said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the version from which I'm reading ends in this way, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right there, the Spirit has given you enough information to completely renovate the way you talk to God. Did you know that? Here's what I noticed first. Did you notice that the Spirit has revealed to us that great prayers begin and end by giving incredible glory to God? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm going to tell you who you are. I'm going to tell you where you are. And I'm going to tell you what your power is and how great you are. He begins by magnifying the name of God. And He ends that way as well. He ends with, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If my prayers are really quick, dear Heavenly Father, and are really nice, in Jesus' name pray, amen. You guys know what I'm talking about. In Jesus' name pray, amen. How is that praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit is saying, the Spirit is teaching me through the revelation and through the words of Jesus to give great honor to God. Now, dear Heavenly Father can do that if we mean it. And so I would say that praying in the Spirit happens when we are creative and emotional and unique in the way that we address the greatness of our God in heaven. But here's something else. Did you notice the focus of this prayer? I call this the SPSS prayer. Because it's something spiritual, then something physical, and then two more spiritual things. There's very little focus on physical things in this prayer. He comes in next in verse 10 and says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, whatever you believe about your kingdom come and whether that can be prayed today or whatever, we know that he was looking forward to the establishment of the kingdom on Pentecost. The point of verse 10 is welcoming the rule of Jesus. Praying in a way that says, "God, today I want your will to rule every decision I make." Have you asked God about that lately? I found myself praying, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for my home, my life, my family, my health." These are all fine, by the way, to pray about. And all these things. And just give me a great day. In Jesus' name, amen. How about a little bit of time saying, "I want you to rule my life. I want every decision I make today to be about you and about what pleases you." Then he comes in and says, "Give us this day our daily bread." But he didn't really belabor the point much, did he? He just said, "Feed me, God. Take care of me." This is where you'd put things like, "Thank you for my family and our health and look after us and get us through the day." But then he goes right back to spiritual things. "Forgive me. Help me to forgive others and keep me free of the sin of this life. Lead me not into temptation." Praying in the Spirit is reading great prayers and then adapting them to you and offering them to God. Can you think of other great prayers in the Bible? If this is a Bible class, I'd walk around and we would talk about that. How about Hannah in 1 Samuel 1? How about people who went through great turmoil and trial? We can learn how to pray from them. Let me give you another example. Look in Ephesians. I want to go back to Ephesians because this is the very book that said pray at all times in the Spirit. Well, what do you mean by that, Paul? How might I do that? Well, it is by the Spirit's revelation that we even have the Ephesians letter. And within the Ephesians letter are two awesome prayers. Really transformational prayers. And what we need to do is identify those prayers and start adapting them. Let me show you the first. Look in chapter 1 and verse 18. Listen to this and imagine tomorrow morning the first thing you say to God when you go about your day is this: "I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe." That's awesome. That's powerful. Every element of that is life-changing. Now, he's praying for other people here, but look at it again. "I pray that our eyes may be opened." I pray that we can identify the presence of hope and riches and glory and greatness and power and victory to us who believe. Have you prayed like that lately? Sure, we can still say, "Give us this day our daily bread," but all of a sudden that doesn't matter so much anymore because I want our eyes to be open. I want to be on the side of the mountain with a prophet saying, "I think we're about to die because here come some adversaries," and all of a sudden I want to see myriads of angels and chariots of flaming fire. You guys know the story I'm talking about? God is here. I want to see it. I want to know it. Paul said, then pray for it. Pray for your eyes to be open to the presence of God. This is what it is to pray in the Spirit. We're not talking about recitation. We're talking about learning ideas and living them. Chapter 3, really quickly, and we'll move to our last point. Chapter 3, verse 14. One thing that studying the prayers of the Bible has done for me is it's made me recognize that I pray too much about me. I live in a bit of a me bubble at times, and everything's about me, and I let God come on in if I think he can do something for me. But what I appreciate about praying in the Spirit is the things that matter to the Spirit start mattering to me instead of just the things that matter to me. And so you come across a prayer like chapter 3, verse 14, when he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Can I stop there a minute and let you notice what he just did there? What'd he do? He praised the majesty of God, didn't he? Right in the middle of the letter. He said, "God named everyone and made them all." Now, verse 16, "I pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. It just makes me feel something when I think about, I'm just going to choose you, Todd, because we're looking at each other. To just pray this for my brother. Just go to God and say, I want to talk to you about my new friend and my brother. And I just pray that you strengthen that man with power through the Spirit in the inner man. And that Christ may dwell in his heart through faith to such an extent that every day he appreciates more the depth and the width and the majesty of the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what that is? That's praying in the Spirit. Because it's things that I know matter to him and that he has shared with me. So that's the first thing. Let's go to something else, though. There is another way that the Spirit works today. Are you frightened to hear what I'm about to say? Where's this guy going? He's new. We don't know everything about him. But if he lifts his hands and starts doing this, we got a problem. Look. I will tell you that this second thing is taught to us in the Scripture. So it is ultimately linked to the first thing. But if you want to know how the Spirit works in your lives today, number one, you read the Word, you learn it. Here's the second thing. He also works through you. He works on you through Scripture, and he works through you by his fruit. We are the only Bible this careless world may read. We are the sinner's gospel. You've sang that song, right? The Spirit works in this world through our character. I'm talking about Galatians 5. Would you open your Bibles there to Galatians chapter 5? I want to know how the Spirit works. So I get over to Galatians 5, and I only have to read a couple of verses to notice this. I'm looking, say, in verse 16. Galatians 5 and in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. All right, how do I walk by the Spirit? I want to do that. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Okay, that's what I need to do. Here is how. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, 9 things. Against such things, there is no law. All right, I'm going to try something, see if you agree. You can live by the Spirit without love. True or false? No. You can walk by the Spirit without patience. How's that working out for you? We get it when it comes to living. That I have to go into the day with 9 things. And when I go into the day with 9 things, I have a productive spiritual day and I make a difference. Have you ever tried, and we've all done this, probably not consciously, but just getting in your car in the morning and heading out on your day and not taking any of this stuff with you? Anybody ever done that? You didn't take any love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, no goodness, no self-control. You just got in your car and you took off for work. Can I just ask you, how'd that day go? We're waiting on God, though. We're waiting on God to give it to us. We're waiting on God to help us make the right decision the first time somebody does something they shouldn't, and it never comes. And you wonder, God, why did I fail today? What would God tell you? He'd say, you didn't take any of the Spirit into the day with you. So the Spirit didn't do anything for you all day long. Here's the point. If this is how we live by the Spirit, by these 9 fruit, this is how we pray by the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is taking these elements into prayer with us. And I'm just here to tell you, this is a big life changer for me. So I want to say this correctly as our time winds down. If you go into prayer with nothing, you will leave that prayer with nothing. If you go into prayer and you approach the throne of God and you have no bucket, no water, no nothing, you just stand in there going, fix me. He won't fix you. Spirit won't even look at you. Nothing. You take nothing into the day, you get nothing out of the day. You take nothing into prayer, you get nothing out of prayer. But the good news is the opposite is also true. When we take into prayer these elements and we pray about these elements and we ask God for help pertaining to them, God will do things, amazing things, instant and powerful things. It's kind of like singing. You know, already in Ephesians, you remember in Ephesians 5 when it said to sing in the Spirit? You come to a singing. We have a singing on Sunday nights, end of the month. You come into our singing at the end of the month with nothing. And you're going to leave with nothing. come in here, I'm bummed, I've had a hard day, I don't even really want to be here, and you get done and think, man, I sang for an hour and that didn't fix anything. Well, duh. You brought nothing in, God had nothing to work with. God doesn't work with nothing. God works with spirits who love Him. And He can change you. So here's what we do. We need to put these 9 things into our prayer life. I have a challenge for you. Over the next 24 hours, I challenge you to offer 10 prayers. They don't have to be long, but they have to have a purpose. But in these 10 prayers, we will take each fruit of the Spirit into the... Don't go into the prayer with nothing and hope you find it. Don't do that. Take it into the prayer and watch what God does. And then the 10th one is try to put them all together. May have to write them down somewhere. We wrote them down at our house. I tried this a few months ago, and this is when things really changed for me, and I've never gone back from this. I woke up on a Friday morning, and before I even got out of bed, I'm still laying there. I just thought about love. I didn't pray. I just thought about love. I thought about the people who I love and who love me and the way that God has loved me and the way that I love Him and the family of love that He's provided me. My son Nicholas, he sleeps on the floor down by the bed, and I looked down and he was sort of like this, and he was just so cute, you know, there's things doing happening here. And I thought, I just love him. And I looked over at my wife and she was still asleep and she looked amazing. I'm not even praying yet. And I feel love. And then I offered a love prayer. Maybe the first one I've ever offered in my life. Because I knew what I felt and I just wanted Him to keep it going and fuel it and make it better. And so then I got out of bed and went into the bathroom and started kind of doing the things that I do. I'm brushing my teeth and I just stopped a minute and I smiled and I thought about the things that bring me joy. Look back at him. He was still laying there. Some of these kind of overlap. And the joy of the life that I get to live. And the way that God has made that joy just untaintable in many ways. And I just smiled. Don't start number 2 until you smile. The number 2 prayer, don't start it until you smile. You found joy. Now go talk to God about that. You go in with a frown and expect to leave with a smile, you will be disappointed. You take joy in and you let God cultivate that. I left the restroom and went out to the kitchen and sat down to eat my breakfast and I breathe. I'm into the breathing stuff now, guys. I just wanted to feel peace. Yeah, I wanted to feel it. So I just took some breaths and I felt at peace. And I thought about passages like the peace, Philippians 4, that Jesus provides and how I'm secure, you know? Not everything in my life is perfect, but I'm secure and at peace. And then I bowed for my morning breakfast meal and I prayed a prayer of peace. I got in the truck and backed out and started headed over to the highway. And I talked to God about patience, but this time something interesting happened when I got to patience. The first thing I thought of before I prayed was how patient God was with me. I wasn't expecting that. I started thinking about how patient God is with me and how long-suffering He is and why He would even listen to me. And I thought about the great patience. And then I shifted it to, now, how should I be patient? What relationships? What challenges will I face today? And I thought about it. And then I prayed and I thanked God for His patience first. And then I asked Him for it. And let me tell you, I got ready to pull out on my main road and there was that guy who wouldn't get over into the other lane. You guys know that guy? Y'all have that guy in Lindale? I mean, there's a whole lane over there. There's nobody. And he just stays over here playing on his cell phone. But that guy couldn't get me that day because I'd already talked to God about patience. Throughout the day, I like to put together gentleness and kindness because they have to do with other people. Pray about what it means or how gentle God is. And your version will have different wordings. That's okay. How gentle He is, how kind He is, how great He is for me, and then I want to be like that for other people when they don't deserve it because I don't deserve it. And I prayed about that. And you go throughout the day and you just work your way through these 9 things. If I could have changed anything on that first day, look at your list, Matthew 5 or Galatians 5. If I could have changed anything on that day, I think I would have put self-control first and not last. I remember I was driving home from work that evening and I thought about the areas of my life and I really wanted better control, more patience, more thinking, more control. And I prayed on the way home and I remember telling God, God, I'm sorry I didn't pray for this morning. Because a few things maybe got a little out of control for me throughout the day. finished the day putting them all together. The next day I woke up and prayed 10 prayers, but just mixed them all up. And now, 3-4 months later, it's just whatever hits you. But I know that when I find something here and I grab it and I get it, and then I go to God about it, I am taking the Spirit's character with me. I am taking the Spirit's words with me. And I am assured that the Spirit will work. And the results, you're going to have to experience them for yourself. Ephesians 6, and we're finished. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, the challenge is 10 prayers over 24 hours. Write it down somewhere. Work your way through it. But remember, find it first. Feel it first. Know it first. Now you're ready to talk to God about it. Ephesians 6, I only want to remind you that this is not a strong suggestion or something you might try. This is the will of God for every Christian. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." God's people must pray connected to the Spirit's will and heart. When we do, Ephesians 6, the devil will fail. When we do, Ephesians 6, doors will open. I've never met a Christian who didn't want the devil to fail, not a single one. And I've never met a Christian who wasn't interested in new doors being opened for effective service in the kingdom of Jesus. Pray in the Spirit. It might just be this morning as we close this lesson that there be someone who can't get there. They can't capture love and joy and peace and patience because they don't have it. You can't capture and feel what you don't have. That is the gospel invitation for you this morning. Do you want that? Do you want to know the love of God? Do you want to feel the patience that comes by the provisions of Jesus? You can repent of your sins and feel that weight dissipate. That's pouring out that bucket of dirty water. You can be baptized in water and raised up fresh and new and ready. But please, leave here in the Spirit. You can't pray in the Spirit unless you're walking in Him. If we can help you do that, come now as we stand and sing.